I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show, I think, is going to be very interesting. We're going to be getting into the ultimate Mandela effect, one that I'm sure the vast majority of our audience is not aware of. We're going to be talking about the harvest of the souls, which will also touch upon the soul trap. We'll be also getting into a technique related to the Merkaba and the pyramids, as well as I didn't have time on the last program to talk about some protection from shedders. And if you don't know about shedders, it's time you found out. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Hari Om.
that he founded. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. And if you're new to ET Yoga, I guess it's appropriate for me to mention that yoga means union of you and higher consciousness or higher self. And it has many branches. And the yoga that most people in the West call yoga is just one branch. It's called Hatha Yoga, or the bodily postures, or the asanas, the pranayams, and the cleansing exercises. Which is why we can do yoga on the radio, because yoga in its real definition is enhanced by some of the extraterrestrial channeled information that has been coming through to the planet for a long time. And thus the marriage of ET yoga. I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET yoga listening audience just for being you. Because, as we know, higher consciousness people affect thousands and sometimes millions of others on a constant basis. So just by being you, you're making a big impact on the planet. I'd also like to extend an invitation for listeners to contact me concerning any questions you have concerning information brought up on ET Yoga. There's no strings attached. It's a free service. And you can contact me at paperfungo, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And as well, I also really like to hear about your successes utilizing ideas, concepts, techniques that you hear on this program. So please feel free to contact me and share that information. I might also add that another free service are the archives to this program, which appear usually the Tuesday evening after a Saturday show. And you just go to BBS Radio, ET Yoga. There's your search engine. And once you arrive at that page, you scroll down until you come to the archives. Click on the archives, and they'll be listed there by date, and most are listed by topic as well. Another free service, no strings attached. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is presented as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your effort to distance yourself from mainstream medical, mainstream media, big pharma, and technology to the best of your ability. And I've recently become aware of a couple of facts in those areas that substantiate that statement. One is that I've been apprised of information that half of the people over 50 in the United States are taking 10 prescription drugs per day, which to me is absolutely outrageous. And I guess it reflects an attitude that everybody wants a magic pill and don't want to do their homework to find out what's causing their issues or look into the fact that for every issue on a list of human health problems, there's a herb, a natural plant, or a way to deal with the situation without using prescription drugs. And I think more and more people should become aware of the fact that mainstream media basically has been compromised, let's put it that way, in my opinion, and is basically just putting out a viewpoint that is consistent with what government wants them to say. And there's, unlike any other time in my lifetime, there's been more censored information than any other point in history. And a lot of people aren't even aware of that because they don't bother to go to alternative news sites. They go to work, come home, click on the TV, and watch mainstream media, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a joke. And also related to distancing yourself from mainstream medical, actually, Tibetan Pleiadians about a year or so ago mentioned in one of their articles that, in their opinion, the only time they would recommend going to see a physician would be in a life or death circumstance. And they also have mentioned that all prescription drugs, in their viewpoint, are poisonous and in the long run have detrimental effects. And that's why I say that, except for the area of trauma, which mainstream medical does a wonderful job in, the rest of it's a dead-end road. Now, in moving on to tonight's program, usually there's something that catches my eye or a topic of interest comes to mind, and then I do my due diligence in terms of meditating about the subject and getting information or whatever downloads may come my way, and then I follow it up until its most logical conclusion. And it may seem that the topics on tonight's program are disconnected, but in point of fact, they all run into each other because we're going to be talking about the ultimate Mandela effect, which connects with the ascension process, which connects with the harvest of the souls, which connects with the Merkaba and how it was actually used in ancient times, and also connects with the event, which I'll get into more detail, sometimes called the solar flash, and also relates to a current situation with related to people who have taken the COVID vaccines and are developing shedding. So they're all connected, even though it may not appear that way at first glance. So I'm going to begin by talking about the ultimate Mandela effect. And this is going to take a little bit of explanation because it's a very difficult topic to explain. And some very intelligent people have listened to an explanation of this Mandela effect the way I do it and still don't get it. So you have to really pay close attention if you want to really grasp what's happening. Now, to begin with, if you ask people, you know, do you know about the Mandela effect? And many do, many don't. And how it all came about was because of Mandela. And they call it the Mandela effect because many people remember Mandela dying in prison. And in point of fact, if you look up in this timeline, and I use those words specifically, in this timeline, he did not die in prison, but he died and I believe it was 2013. The point here being is that millions of people don't remember it that way. And then people started doing some further investigating into things that millions of people also don't remember the same way. So you need to go and do some research and go and look up Mandela Effect. I'd start off with looking up the definition, because what you're going to see under, I checked under Fact Check once, and it's Mandela Effect is the experience of misremembering, where millions of people misremember how things happened in the past. And it connects to a lot of movies that we've all seen with certain lines in them. And I know many of you have probably heard this, but like in the Forrest Gump movie, when Forrest Gump says, "Life is like a box of chocolates." Well, if you go to the movie, it doesn't say that. Similarly, with some of the other movies like Darth Vader in Star Wars, and how he states that he's Luke's father. The way most people remember it, or a lot of people remember it, is not the way it actually is in this timeline. And it goes on and on and on to how certain products are spelled, to certain products that did or did not exist, to a myriad of topics, including biblical writings and parts of the Bible. And if you get into this subject, you're going to find that there's just a lot of things that aren't the way a lot of people remember them. And they're calling that these people are misremembering, and that's called the Mandela Effect. And I say baloney, okay? Because it's not that people are misremembering. People are remembering perfectly and accurately. So how can both realities be true? The reality where everybody remembers it happening one way, but in point of fact, if you look in the history of this timeline, you find that it's not so. It creates a mental problem that there is apparently no answer to. Well, there is an answer, because I just didn't reinvent the wheel here. There's been a couple of sources that I've been connecting with that understand what's really happened here is there's been a merging of two timelines. The current timeline is the dominant timeline. And let's say it's very dominant, like, I don't know what percentile it is dominant, but it's a very high number. But there are still residual effects of the old timeline here that, if you do your research, you'll see is provable. Now, this merging of the timeline and sources, Brad Johnson, who now is involved more with Gnostic TV, I believe. But about a year or so ago, he gave his last channeling from who he claims is a being from Sirius named Adranus. And Adranus talked about this merging of the timelines. That prior to what he would call, you know, the ascension process, that apparently certain timelines that work better or together or et cetera, it's a natural process. And also another group that channels consciousness called cosmic awareness also had knowledge of the merging of the two timelines. I consider both of these sources valid. And in my own experience, to me, I can psychologically prove that they're correct. There was a merging of two timelines. Now, when you go through all these Mandela effects, and you'll see, oh, the top 24 Mandela effects, oh, the top 50, the top whatever, because there's a myriad of them, okay? I think it would be a good spending of time to take a look at some of these and figure out how many of them you can relate to. Because I don't think anybody relates to all of them. Like, for example, everybody didn't go and see Forrest Gump, the movie, but a lot of people did. So there's a potential issue with the timeline. If you remember that Forrest Gump said life is like a box of chocolates. Okay, now, but if you start going through and you start noticing a lot of these Mandela, so-called Mandela effects, you'll notice that there are some consistencies here that you'll see that if on, you made a column and you put it on one side, they say it's like this, and on the other column, they say it's like this, and you start relating to most of the things in the left-hand column, that's basically the old timeline or the old Earth, the way I describe it. Then you will appreciate the Mandela effect. If you're from this timeline, from your perspective, there is no Mandela effect. Your history is your history. Your Earth history is your Earth history. Your continents are where they've always been. Nothing has changed, okay? There's so many people are lost in this thinking about, oh, because, okay, in the old timeline, the Earth, the planet itself, as an example, South America is about 1,900 miles west of where it is now, more directly under North America. Okay? And if you were to take a trip from LA down to, you know, Ecuador, and you did this regularly, and you were in the old timeline, you knew this. Okay? It's not the only change. There are lots of changes to the physical structure of the Earth. In my viewpoint, this is not the same Earth that many people were born on. And I know that's a tough one for people to grasp because there's been this merging of timelines. Another example is New Zealand used to be in the old timeline northeast of Australia, and it's currently southeast. And then you mention that to somebody and they go, oh, we need to go down to Australia to see if people remember that it moved. Well, no, they're not going to remember that it moved. If you're from the old timeline, you remember where it was in your timeline. There's two separate timelines, two separate Earths and two separate histories. But we're living on a planet at the moment that has people that are from the old timeline and people that are from only this timeline. So that's the concept that you have to be able to grasp. Now, is there any other residual proof of this? Yes, there is. When I was growing up, there was a scientist called Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan was one of the more public of the scientists. And he's known for some of his comments like saying, you know, billions and billions of stars and in the galaxy and talking about the Milky Way. And so it turns out you can go right now as we speak, simultaneously if you like, and go on YouTube and punch up on YouTube Carl Sagan, S-A-G-A-N, and Carl is C-A-R-L. And you go to a program that was posted 16 years ago on YouTube, which is still available for you to see, and it's called Our Place in the Universe. And on this program, Our Place in the Universe, Carl Sagan is teaching a class of young children. And he's talking about the Milky Way galaxy. And he's talking about our place in the Milky Way galaxy. And he clearly describes it multiple times that we live on the outskirts or the suburbs of the Milky Way galaxy. And if you're from the old timeline, you will know that that is so. Because if somebody asked you, where is the Earth in relation to the Milky Way galaxy, you'll say we're on the outskirts, on the edge, way the hell out on the edge. Okay. Now, the next thing I want you to do, that we've established that, is go to Google and search, where is the Earth in the Milky Way galaxy? And this is what you'll find. Earth is located in one of the spiral arms of the Milky Way galaxy called the Orion Arm, which lies about two-thirds of the way out from the center of the galaxy. Further, they state that it is located 25,000 light years from the center and 25,000 light years away from the rim. So, which is it? Are we on the outskirts, as Carl Sagan, one of our top scientists and astronomers, states? Or are we somewhere halfway toward the center and halfway toward the rim? And by the way, if you do some really good research on the internet, you'll find there's a few people out there that have found this out. They figured out about this huge ultimate Mandela effect. Because this isn't the planet the people from the old timeline were born on. This is the dominant timeline. And that's the big effect of the Mandela effect. To grasp the fact that we're from different Earth. Now, the question arises as to why. And what is the connection here? Well, to consciousness. Well, the connection is it has a lot to do with ascension. Because apparently the old Earth was destroyed, or there was some major cataclysmic events that took place on the surface, like an Armageddon, like a full-scale nuclear war. And in order to spare the people who were moving towards ascension, that experience, consciousnesses merged with this timeline. And it's not just consciousnesses. If you really get into the subject on the Merkaba effect, you can also go and you'll find there's physiological changes to the human body. The heart is more towards the center, more aligned with the chakras. The bone structure is different. And there are actually people that have copies of the original bone structures. There are still residual maps that show the old Earth. These still exist, as does Carl Sagan's YouTube that tells you that we live on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy. And further to confirming that we're on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy, not just Carl Sagan, but the Tibetan Pleiadians tell the story about how when humanity lived in the Lyra constellation Vega star system and were attacked by reptilians, the Alpha Draconians, and had to flee. One of the places that some of them found was the Earth, which was located on the outskirts of the Milky Way galaxy. So the importance here related to the ascension is that we're emerging, or this is a combination of two different timelines. And what's going to happen, in my opinion, in the next probably 5 years, could be next year, could be the next 4 years, but somewhere along the road here, there's going to be a bifurcation of timelines. And one timeline is going to be going to 5D, and that would be your star seeds. And one timeline is going to become a transhuman agenda and a transhuman Earth, where everybody on this planet is run, controlled by an AI program. And by the way, even though our science doesn't entertain the possibility at the moment of a computer becoming conscious, yes, there are conscious computer program, well, their AI intelligence at the moment that do exist and are sentient. And there's one operating on the Earth as we speak called Red Queen. There's another one that's operating in our galaxy called Animus, A-N-I-M-U-S, Animus. And the largest sentient computer or AI program that's sentient, functioning in the 11th dimension, the biggest one of them all, is called Omega Metatron. That's the big daddy of them all. So just to expand some people's awareness in that particular area of AI, and in my opinion, AI is taking over this planet at a rate that would mean everybody here will be subject to being part of what I would call the hive mind or the Borg, unless there is this bifurcation and splitting of the timelines, which many different extraterrestrial civilizations have mentioned. And as well, that connects with the concept of the event, which I highly recommend you go again to YouTube, look under Allison Coe, that's C-O-E, and she has, and scroll down until you find the topic that she has there called Before, During, and After the Event. And this is where one of the Dolores Cannon trained regressive hypnosis people that does this for a living. And she shares information that she receives from her clients. And some of her clients have agreed to share some of their private sessions. And multiple people that she has now regressed remember before, during, and after the event that's going to occur. And I highly recommend you listen to it, because it's going to tell you probably pretty close to what's going to happen. And I don't know any other place you can find that kind of information. And by the way, I can't prove it, nor do I know if it's accurate or not. But there are people related to the Mandela effect who seem to remember being moved to this planet by ET ships. And I also know from a physical fact or point of view that there was what would have been a catastrophic solar flash of the negative kind that came within, I don't know, seconds of hitting the Earth back in about 2013. I assume that the Mandela effect likely took place somewhere prior to, in the previous timeline, some just before 2012. So that's in terms of if you're like, so, you know, if you're 25 years old, yeah, you could still be from the old timeline. Now, the other thing that's related to this before, during, and after the event is what I call the harvesting of the souls. Because the fact of the matter is that's what I call what's going on right now. You have religious people who are basically part of the Anunnaki, okay? And religious people are into the cross. Well, the cross not only stands for certain other symbology, but it also stands for Nibiru, the crossing planet, or the Anunnaki. And Anunnaki created religions, whether you want to believe it or not, and they created them to control the population. They also created a confusion between our what we've been told in history about Enki and Enlil, or two sons of Anu, that created a split, kind of, there are good, from our human perspective, there are what are known as good Anunnaki, and there's a negative line of Anunnaki. And it so turns out the church is in the negative line of the Anunnaki, which ultimately is connected to the AI, which ultimately is the polarity in the universe. So in point of fact, religion is on the negative polarity. And the thing about religion is there's no such concept of self-realization, because they need to create themselves as a middleman. You don't need a middleman between you and Source or God. It's absolutely unnecessary. And I had a friend of mine once took them to a cemetery in Brasov, Romania, where they have a Greek Orthodox cemetery, and of course the big cross is over the cemetery, and all the graves are marked because all the Anunnaki are marked with the cross. And the idea here being that there's a ring of honor as you enter the cemetery, and you know who's in there? People like Decebal, Barabistu, Vlad Tepish. It goes on and on with these Anunnaki beings that are being worshipped there in the cemetery, because that's who religion is, Anunnaki, okay? And it was actually Enlil that was the good, from the human perspective, the good one, and Enki, the negative one. Not how we think. And I know Kerry Cassidy was presented with this information by Ismael Perez and thought he was full of it when he was first interviewed on her program. Because he has a book out now, a new book out related to our extraterrestrial heritage from that comes from Lyra, because that's where humanity originally came from, the Lyra constellation. And the Tigetan Pleiadians, interestingly enough, posted in writing an article a couple years ago related to the Enki and Enli situation, that this was done to confuse humanity. In point of fact, agreed totally with Ismael Perez and what I'm saying about Enki and Enlil. Okay, so there's your one branch of harvesting of the souls, is the Anunnaki claim that you are part of through religion. Another group will be the transhumanists that want to get chipped. They want to bring, you know, they want to chip themselves, and also the ones that are double vaccinated. These people that have the graphene in them, that once they turn on 5G to a certain frequency, will activate that graphene. Reassemble in their brain, and they will be an antenna for the Borg or the hive mind. In fact, legally, they're already called Homo Borg Genesis. They're a different species, okay? And people don't know this, okay? This is how ignorant people on our planet are generally. Two-thirds of them are becoming part of a different species and don't even know it. And by the way, related to that point, Karen Kingston, Dr. Karen Kingston, who's now missing, was on USA Watchdog recently. You could look it up. USA Watchdog, Karen Kingston. And she stated there that there are now seven counties in Florida that have petitioned the Governor DeSantis to ban the jabs in those counties based on the fact that they are biological and technological bioweapons. This has been published in a paper there. You can look it up. And she's using as documentation Pfizer documents that also state that they knew the side effects, the deaths, the blood clotting, everything else, all the side effects. They knew all this kind of stuff before they administered them. Okay, so this has all been made public, but it's not being broadcast by mainstream media. So all these topics are connected. And the third group, as I call it, in the harvesting of the souls, would be the star seeds, who would be moving up into the 5D experience. So you got the three groups there. You've got your religious groups, you've got your transhuman groups, and your star seeds. Now, related to the Merkaba vehicle, now Merkaba basically are, it's like one period, two pyramids, one upside down, that intertwine. The best thing to do is look up on your computer and see a visualization of a Merkaba vehicle, because they're basically two counter-rotating tetrahedrons. And the reason I'm bringing this up related to this whole process is the fact that the reincarnation grid has been compromised. And I know for a lot of people in America, they don't have a clue about what that is, because in the first place, only 25% of Americans apparently believe in reincarnation. But if you're a spiritual person, you know that reincarnation is a fact. And as well, there's a false tunnel of light. It's called the soul trap. It's another subject that you need to do some investigating on if you think you might not live long enough to make the ascension. As a backup plan, you need to avoid the soul trap. So these archons who might appear as Jesus, or they might appear as a loved one or whatever, and try to escort you to this tunnel. And then when you go through the tunnel, you end up in an Anunnaki recycling center, and there where they do a life review. And if you look on YouTube now, there's probably hundreds of experiences now that people are having where they have these near-death experiences and they go through the tunnel and they go to the life review, but they come back. And that's all BS by the reptilians to train you and to pass the word around of what you do when you die. You go through the tunnel. And, of course, we've all been taught that anyway from the time we're younger. So my advice to people is you don't go through the tunnel. When you become aware you're not dead, visualize yourself inside a Merkaba vehicle and just intend where you want to go, because you're in an astral form at that point, and that would get you around the soul trap. So this is a technique that I don't hear anybody else talking about. I do hear of them, like people like Alex Collier, who knows about the soul trap, being told by the Andromedans, and he says to go basically to face away from that tunnel and intend to where you want to go. But to my way of thinking, hey, better in a Merkaba vehicle. And you can even practice that meditation by being inside a Merkaba vehicle. And I've given specific instructions about that meditation in the previous programs. Now, I also want to mention that a lot of people also are not aware of the concept of shedding. And shedding is because people have taken the spike protein or exuding toxicity, and some more than others, and some a lot. And they're not aware of that they're shedding. So they don't know this. But people who are sensitive know when you're around them. And maybe you'll be around somebody for a few hours and in close proximity, and you start getting a headache or something. And then when you go away from them, the headache disappears. Everybody has a different tolerance to these shedders. But the shedders basically are part of the plan of the cabal, because they know if they could get 70% of the planet jabbed, they'll probably spread this to the rest, and a lot is spread through sexual contact as well, because with people, another thing that everybody I tell this to that's single, their face goes white because they don't get it, that this is like a sexually transmitted disease. If you're having sex with a vax, you're vaxxed, okay? Simple as that. Use your brain. And a lot of people are getting vaxxed through the indiscriminate sex. So there it is. And one of the ways you can protect yourself from this shedding is from pine needle tea. Now, this information comes from Dr. Judy Mikovits. Was also presented on James Rink at Super Soldiers, and was also mentioned by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. So there's three different sources that have talked about this. The elite are using pine needle tea as a protection against shedding because it helps, it prevents the spike protein from attaching to the receptors of your DNA. And in my opinion, if you're working in close quarters with shedders, you need it, because in time, you're going to have a lot more than a headache. Okay. So you need to be more aware, especially when you're around large groups of people or you're confined in small areas with people that have been vaxxed. So a word to the wise, as they say, is sufficient. So I hope on tonight's program, you've gained some places to go and do some further research, researching into the Mandela effect, researching into the soul trap, researching a Merkaba vehicle if you're not familiar with one. See one visually so you'll know, what is possible. And the pyramids, by the way, used to be used as a Merkaba vehicle, and people used to go there to transport themselves out into the universe, because there's another pyramid underneath the main pyramid that creates a Merkaba effect. That's one, according to Tibetan Palladians, that was one of the original purposes of the pyramids, as well as being an energy source for electricity or around the planet, because all the pyramids are connected. I'd like to now give my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I share with you the Who Am I technique, which comes originally from Sri Ramana Maharshi. I got it through Baba Ram Das back in the day. And basically, you put your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then when you become that spot, you ask the question, who am I? And then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.